In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are. We're continuing with this great blessing that God is giving to us by reading the diaries of Luisa. This is something that is so essential to learn how to live this true life of Jesus and this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So on volume 23, February 12th, 1928, Jesus tells Luisa, "So for the soul who possesses my divine will as life, heavens, suns, seas, and everything are not extraneous to her, but everything is her own, just as everything belongs to my fiat." So what Jesus is showing us is once you enter into this life of the divine will, this new and divine way of holiness, as John Paul II has told, prophesied to us at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, it's a new and divine way of holiness that's beginning for all of humanity. And to possess the divine will, we give our heart to Jesus. We say to him, we want you, Lord, to be the, we want you, Lord, to be the king of my heart. I want my heart to be your throne. And then Jesus says, give up everything that is not of me, Jesus says. So the things that we have in our heart are basically the loves of the earth. And these loves of the earth are not how we're supposed to be living. God gives us our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, the loves of our heart. Yet Jesus says, I want to give you more than what you have now. And so that doesn't mean we abandon, our families. It means that God is number one. And as Jesus said, when they said, which is the greatest of all the commandments, he says, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, and your whole heart with all your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this twofold love for a God and man, God has to be first. God has to be primary. And, you know, people who want to get married, they should find a person who loves Jesus more than they love you. And if you can find that person who loves Jesus more than they love you, you will have a happy and a holy marriage. To be happy on earth is to be holy. There's no happiness without holiness. Jesus teaches us this through the lives of the saints, and now most especially in this diary of Luisa. So for the soul who possesses my divine will as life, the heavens, the sun, the sea, everything are not strange to her, but everything becomes her own, just as everything belongs to, Jesus says, my fiat. When we enter into this life of the fiat of God, heaven becomes more important than earth. Heaven becomes our life. Why are we here on earth? It's to say to the Lord, I want heaven. I want paradise. I want Eden. I want to go back to where Adam was before the fall. That's the whole reason for being on earth. And so what Jesus is looking for is the strongest, those that are disciplined, those that are focused, those that have this fervor, this zeal for heaven. And this is why when we look at the life of the people who were waiting for the Messiah, the Hebrews who are longing for the Messiah, those that long for the Messiah were the Essenes. And this is what's missing in the divine will. The Essenes were longing for the Messiah, dreaming of the Messiah, searching for the Messiah. As Andrew ran to Peter and say, Jesus, we found Jesus. We found the Messiah. You know, it's our job is to long for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the only prayer that Jesus gave us. And what he teaches Louisa is what the Our Father is all about. And this longing for God, may your kingdom come and reign on earth as it is in heaven, is our longing. We're longing for this. It becomes our zeal. It becomes our fervor. We want the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Why? This is what Jesus wants. So that's why he says, when you enter into the divine will, when you begin to possess the divine will, everything belongs to you as everything belongs to my fiat, Jesus says. And he teaches us in the writings what my fiat is all about. This is something that is so exhilarating to learn from Jesus what my fiat is all about. And glorious things are right around the corner. And the kingdom is coming. And just as those Essenes were searching for the Messiah, it wasn't the Pharisees, it wasn't the Sadducees that went to seek the Lord. They knew when he was coming. They knew it was going to happen, but it didn't matter. No priest showed up at Bethlehem. None of the scribes or the Pharisees or the Sadducees showed up. It was the shepherds. It was the wise men who showed up. And this is good for us to understand. God is looking for those, like he says, I am going to return for those who long for God. I remember one person in my prayer group said to me, and this was about 20 years ago, maybe longer, it sounds like you're expecting Jesus to be here tomorrow. And I said, absolutely, because he said he's coming back. Our desire should be for the Lord's return. Our desire, like for Christmas. Do you have a baby Jesus that, not a little infant, plastic baby Jesus, but do you have a baby Jesus that you can hold? Now, the reason is what the Holy Father does on Christmas, kissing the statue. It's not superstition. We are longing for God. We are desiring God. And Jesus says, if you kiss the crucifix, he says, I will accept it as you're actually kissing me. Jesus says, if you kiss the baby Jesus, it's the same thing. Are you ready to realize that our God came to earth as a human, God, man. And he was a little baby, as he tells Louisa, not to frighten humanity. When he returns, he comes as king. And he says, I have to give everybody what they want. If you're desiring the Lord, it's going to be ecstasy. If you're not desiring the Lord, it's going to be wailing and grinding of teeth, because that's why we're here. So get ready for Christmas. And Jesus says, Christmas is every day. Jesus says, in fact, the soul is nothing other than the birth from the fiat. Do you see how amazing this is? This birth that God is bringing about, this reborn, to be reborn, is to have this birth from the fiat of God, to go back to what Adam had before the fall, image and likeness of God. Through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. And now with this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, we want to enter into the likeness of God. So Jesus says, the soul who possesses the divine will is nothing other than a birth from the divine will, from the fiat. And by possessing it, that soul has all the rights over all the births from the fiat. Okay, so when you think about it, fiat lux, let there be light. And it's the universe. God says, I made the universe for man. I made the human will for God. God wants to reign in us. And so he gave us this human will so that we would get out of the way, basically, and he would reign in us as Lord, as King, as Master, So when we, he says, I made your census in volume 36, I made the census for humanity, for God. So he wants to gaze in our gazing. He wants to listen in our listening. He wants to speak in our speaking. He wants to beat in our heart beating, breathe in our breathing, walk in our walking. And when you enter into the divine will, Jesus is one with you. And he's saying, thank you. Now, this is why I created you. I created humanity to enjoy the beatific vision. So as we breathe, as our heart beats, as we gaze, as we listen, as we talk, as we walk, you have all the rights of the universe. You are the king of the universe, you know, king of the world. That's the Lord. That's our lady, mother and queen and king of kings and Lord of lords. This new and divine way of holiness that's here because of the Diary of Louisa is ours. If we wish as much as you want, as little as you want. So when people ask, what are the rules and regulations of the divine will? What's the formula? How do you do this? Jesus tells Louisa, it's here in your heart. How much do you love Jesus? Do you love him so much that you want to be at Holy Mass every day, every Sunday? You keep holy the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. How much do you love Jesus? Do you want to be in communion with him every day, receiving the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ at Holy Communion? How much do you love Jesus? That shows you how much you want the divine will. The more you love Jesus, the more you want to be one with him, fused with him. Fusing is two pieces of metal welded together. They can't come apart anymore. This fusing is necessary in the divine will. I want you, Lord, and only you. I need you, Lord, and only you. All the things of the earth, all the loves of the earth, we give up. Say, for example, if you love chocolate, people love chocolate. Give it up. If you're eating chocolate every day, give it up for at least one day a week. Say, this day, I'm not going to have this love of the earth, this delight of the earth. And this is something that's so beautiful. As you suffer this separation from the loves of the earth, this is glorious. This is amazing. It's to fall more in love with God, to fall more in love with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, and to give up the loves of the earth. You don't give up your family. I'm not saying that. But what Jesus is asking is he's asking us to really begin to live this abundant life, to really begin to live this fullness. So he says, once somebody possesses this gift, begins to possess it, everything that belongs to the fiat of God, it becomes ours. She is nothing other than a birth from the divine will, from the fiat of God. And by possessing the fiat, has all the rights of all the births from it. So everything that comes alive, you know, the animals, the vegetables, the minerals, everything becomes ours. And this is how Saint Francis lived. He would say, brother, sun, sister, moon. They become one with us. They become ours. It's everything of earth is yours. And to possess everything is to live with nothing. Because it's how many people treasure things and they hoard things. This is not what humans should be doing. God gives us the gifts of the earth so that we can share them with others. No one should be starving. No one should be homeless. Love God with your whole mind, your whole heart, and all your strength. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. What Jesus is trying to show us is this is how he lived. The Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master, came to earth to die in our place, to give up all that was human, to that holy humanity of Jesus, to surrender all of that so that we can begin to live this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. So these births, this being reborn is continuous. What Jesus would say to Louisa, or Louisa would say to Jesus, you know, you crucify me every day, because that's what he did, and I die, but I come back to life. Why don't you bring me to heaven when I die? And Jesus says, because I love to see you being reborn again and again and again. This being reborn, all the births of all that God has created is ours as God's children. And that's the whole of creation. So when you pray, when you learn to pray your rounds of creation, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God, this is a form of being in heaven. Being in heaven is as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, if the veil was lifted, we would see we're in the glorified body, praising God eternally, enjoying the beatific vision. And Jesus says, this is why I rose from the dead, he tells Louisa, so that humanity would rise from the death, the misery of their human will. And what is your human will? It's worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubting, and sin. So the more that we fall in love with Jesus, the freer we become of all the things of the earth. See, Eve was infatuated with the things of the earth. You know, she was, this is so beautiful. Jesus is saying to us, I want you to enter into the perfect beauty, and that's God. Perfect love, and that's God. Yes, the things of the earth are a reflection of the love of God, but Jesus is saying, what I want you to do is, yes, thank him, praise him, love him as Jesus did, the perfect way, as Mary did, the perfect way. So when we pray the rounds, we say, Jesus in me, praise the Lord. I praise God. Jesus in me, thank you. Thank the Father. Glorify the Father. I want to perfectly adore the Father as you, Lord, did, as you have taught us, as Our Lady has taught us. So this new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all the earth is ours. So Jesus says, therefore, by right and in truth, the soul who possesses the divine will can say to her God, to her Creator, I offer you, Lord God Almighty, all the homages of the light of the sun with all its effects. So I give to you, God, what you gave to me. I give to you the light of the sun with all its effects. This is the symbol of the eternal light of God, the eternal glory of God, the immensity of the heavens of God. And he said, and so with all the rest. So what do we give back to God is what he breathed into us. He breathes into us the divine, I love you. And Jesus teaches us how to pray the rounds, to give that divine, I love you back to God, praising him and loving him and glorifying him and worshiping him. So what does he do? He says, I give to humanity my body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. He says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. This Haggadah at Passover, this is my body. He wasn't joking with his apostles saying, I really don't mean it. This is my body. This is my blood. And he says the reason he wants us to receive Holy Communion is to get ready for the perennial communion of heaven. This getting ready of the perennial communion of heaven. This new and divine way of holiness that's coming to all of humanity begins, if you want to say, with this communion with God. So at Holy Mass, we get there early to prepare ourselves to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. He becomes our food. And remember, you are what you eat. He wants us to become like him. So Jesus says to Louisa, watch what's going to happen when the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven. Watch with what the power of the Holy Eucharist that's going to be given to humanity when this happens. He says, because you're going to then begin to enter into to possess God, to live with God in a perennial way that Adam had. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. This communion with God is what God wants to have with us. Never ending, not just for 15 minutes when we receive Holy Eucharist, where we praise him and thank him and bless him and adore him and worship him. See, it doesn't matter what the rest of the parish does. You're there. You've received Jesus worthily. You're in the state of grace. And now God wants you to share in his divinity. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. That drop of water fuses and diffuses in that wine and becomes wine. Naturally. Now Jesus wants to do this supernaturally in us. He wants us to share in his divinity. This prayer during the Holy Mass is so important for us to understand. We're going to receive Holy Communion so that we can become like God, image and likeness, so that we eventually in paradise, in Eden, in heaven, we eventually will participate in this perennial communion with God that will never, ever end. To enjoy the beatific vision is to be one with God, fused with God. So what God is doing now with this diary of Louisa is he's getting us to begin to understand this new and divine way of holiness that he breathed into Louisa. What is that? It's the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve. This Adam and Eve, the original Adam and Eve fell. We've been under the thumb of the evil one for 6,000 years. And that's why everything is happening now. It seems like it's confusion. It seems like everything's falling apart. No, what's happening is God is saying the kingdom is now coming. I'm getting everything ready. Everything is getting ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Even Jesus says to prove it, he says, I've given Louisa this diary that we can read and we can participate in and we can learn each day something more beautiful than this, what the saints have taught us over the last 2,000 years. The saints taught us how to do the will of God, volume 1 through volume 10, to become a divine mirror of Jesus. But to live in the divine will, Jesus says, no one has ever been taught that. And you read the saints, who talks about how to live a sanctified life, how to be perfected as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That's what Jesus asked the apostles to do. And now 2,000 years later, this longing for Jesus, this desiring for the kingdom is now being fulfilled in our time. And Jesus says, to prove it, you have the book of heaven. This proves it. And those souls that are reading and studying the book of heaven, you're becoming more Catholic than you could ever imagine. Why? That's the universal life that Adam had. So when Jesus and Mary come to earth, they bring this universal life back to humanity. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now that you're mature enough, reading and studying the dogma and doctrine of our faith, mature enough to know what the lives of the saints have taught you, doing the will of God, now he says, I want you to begin to live in the will of God the way I, Jesus says, lived, and the way my mother, the way she lived in the divine will. So they found the newborn, the firstborn, Louisa, the firstborn born of original sin, who is now living in the divine will. Adam was not the son of God. Adam was not the mother of God. Eve wasn't the mother of God. What God wants from us is to enter into this life of Jesus and Mary. But they had to find one to give this to so that all of humanity can begin to live this new and divine way of holiness of Jesus and Mary. And that's Louisa. Louisa is the newborn. Louisa is the firstborn of the divine will. to get a glimpse of who Louisa is, to get a glimpse of her. Read the 2,200 titles that Jesus gives to Louisa. You can find that at louisapicaretta.me. Go there. Everything there is free. It's yours. God wants us to have this new and divine way of holiness, and it's free. And he is offering this to us as much as we want or as little as we want. So when people say, again, how do you live this? What do I have to do? It's, where's your love for Jesus? God wants to magnify it. As Our Lady said, my soul magnifies the Lord. This new and divine way of holiness is ours. And Jesus is asking us, how much do you want it? Do you want it 30%, 60%, or do you want it 100%? What do you want? And then he says, I want to see what you're going to do with the way and the how I've taught Louisa. So those that want to be Franciscan, you follow Francis. You follow his life. You dress like him. You follow his teachings. You listen to what he taught. If you want to be Dominican, you follow St. Dominic. If you want to be Benedictine, you follow St. Benedict. If you want to live in the divine will, if you want to possess the divine will, you have to go to Louisa. Some people say that some people exaggerate Louisa very much or too much. Let me just put it this way. You can't exaggerate Louisa enough. When you read the titles of Louisa, when you read the titles of Louisa, Jesus is saying this about her. Read the titles of Louisa and you're going to get a glimpse of how amazing this woman is. You need Louisa to live in the divine will. If you're striving to live in the divine will without Louisa, you're just spinning your tires. It's like trying to be a Franciscan following St. Dominic. It's not going to happen. You can't be a Franciscan following St. Dominic. It's Francis that you're following. Franciscan is you're following. It's the same thing for the divine will. As you enter into the divine will, you're going to fall in love more with Jesus, more with Mary and Louisa. Because we don't go to Louisa for Louisa. We go to Louisa for the life of Jesus and Mary that she possesses. No saint has ever done that before. Remember, we just on Sunday, we had this beautiful understanding of John the Baptist. And what does Jesus say about John the Baptist? He says, the greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. The least in the kingdom is greater than he. He doesn't say St. Joseph is the greatest born of woman. He says the greatest man born of woman is John the Baptist. Why? He's the last, if you want to say, high priest, bringing about the sacrifice, promising this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the lamb that was crucified. He was the last of the great prophets, the last of the great high priests. So then Jesus is the high priest. And he starts this universal life again with humanity, with his priesthood on earth. And now as we enter into this new and divine way of holiness, Jesus is saying through to us, if you read the three appeals, it's very clear. The first that will have the fullness of this gift is you, Holy Father. You are the first to have this fullness of this gift. Why? You need a man and a woman for every era of creation, Adam and Eve, of redemption, Jesus and Mary, for sanctification, Louisa and whom? Read the three appeals. You, Holy Father, must be the first to receive this gift. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be complaining about. There's nothing to be negative about. God is in charge. And it looks as if everything's falling apart. In reality, God's getting everything in order. He knows how to do this. He knows what he's doing. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. He's going to take care of everything. And what he wants, what the Heavenly Father wants, was Jesus's crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Why? Taking the place of the fallen Adam and his children. Why? To bring us not just redemption, but sanctification. So he says to Louisa, I rose from the dead so that my children will rise from the death of their human will, the misery of their human will. Again, what is our human will? It's what we do when we go to confession. We say to the priest, this is what I thought, this is what I said, this is what I did, this is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to become, volume 1 through volume 10, a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19, I want to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, I want to live, volume 20 through volume 36, to receive again the divine inheritance of the Father. That's the life that Adam possessed before the fall. So Jesus says this, to possess my divine will is divine life that the soul carries out within herself. And what is that? It's peace, joy, and happiness. It's adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God as if you were in heaven. Jesus said, I rose from the dead so that humanity would rise from the misery, the death of their human will, to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness on earth before you die. So everyone that comes out of this misery contains the power, the immensity, the light, the love of God. That's the divine will. So God is asking us, pleading with us, to get ready for what he is going to do. Now, what Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady says to Bruno in 1947, what's coming is the end. It's the end of time. What does that mean? When we fell, when Adam fell, Jesus says to us, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth, and then Adam fell. We had to go where the evil one was, and we've been under the thumb of the evil one for 6,000 years. The time is over. Pope Leo XIII heard. He heard in 1884, October 13th, 1884, the devil say to Jesus, give me 100 years and I'll destroy your church. God says, it's yours. That 100 years is over, because 33 years later, after that vision, was the miracle of the sun. And when he saw what Our Lady was bringing to the earth, the evil one knew his head was going to be crushed by her. So what does he do? He started the Russian Revolution, communism. And this has been plaguing the earth for the last 100 years. But the time is over. The kingdom is coming. So Our Lady says, the era of the evil one is coming to an end. And then she says, my children are going to enter into eternity where they belong. Where there's no time or space there. My children are going to enjoy the beatific vision, where the children of the devil is going to be trapped in time and space forever, never enter into eternity, and never be able to enjoy the beatific vision. We have to understand the time we're living in. The time we're living in, everything's coming to a halt. Why? The kingdom is coming. And God is preparing the earth for this great and divine way of holiness that is here if we wish. There's no need to be miserable. There's no need to live in the human misery any longer. The human misery isn't for us, Jesus says. The human misery is for the evil one. So Jesus says to us, in volume 23, February 25th, 1928, now, what is the heart is for the human life, the thought for the soul is my divine will in each human being. The heart for the human life is the thought for the soul is my divine will. So this new and divine way of holiness is here. We are going to be, if you want to say, born again at each instant. It's not just to be born again. It's to be constantly born again. It is this, like the center of life. From it incessant and eternal heartbeat, it palpitates and the creature thinks, the creature palpitates, the creature speaks and walks and operates from a divine perspective. What's the divine perspective? No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, but a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of happiness. That's heaven. But creatures not only do and think about it, but suffocate this life. They suffocate its divine light, its divine sanctity, its divine peace. And the upright operating as children of God, the just and holy speaking. And some of them suffocate it so much as to render themselves the suicides of their soul. Jesus says, my divine will in the low world where we are right now is like a king without a kingdom, without a people. And the creatures that live as if they had no king, no divine life, no regime, because the king of their heartbeat for their nature, the king of their thought for their souls is missing. Jesus is missing. The life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve is missing. And since because of its immensity, it envelops everything and everyone, it is forced to live as though suffocated within itself. Because there is no one who receives its life. There is no one that receives this divine attitude. There's no one that receives the divine regime of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. He's telling us, get ready for what God is going to do. He says, I know the way you're living. He says this in the three appeals. I know the way you're living and I'm tired of it. And since you haven't come after me, Jesus says, I'm going to come after you. So it says, but the divine will wants to form its kingdom on earth in us, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. It wants to have its chosen. It wants to have its faithful people. See, God has plans and everything that's happening in the world. He's saying, do you want light or do you want darkness? Do you want good or do you want the bad? What do you want? I have to give this to you. The devil wanted hell. Being separated from God. So he has this. I gave it to him. What do we want? Do we want to be a faithful, chosen people? Is this what we're looking for? If we are looking to have this life, this light, this love of God, which is the divine will, Jesus says, I'm offering it to my children now. Now is the time. See, so he says, it wants to have us as his chosen, us as his faithful people. Therefore, even though the divine will is present in the midst of creatures and lives unknown and suffocated by most of humanity, it does not stop. It does not depart for its celestial regions, leaving earth abandoned, but it persists in remaining in our midst to make itself known. So now Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach mankind how to live this celestial life, this heavenly life, this life of Jesus and Mary. Now is the time that everything seems to be falling apart, but God's getting everything ready for the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven. He says it would want to make everyone know the good that the divine will wants to do. He wants to make everyone know the celestial laws, the insuperable love, the divine heartbeat that palpitates divine light, divine sanctity, divine love, divine gifts, divine peace, divine happiness. And he says, and such that it does what he wants to give the children of the divine will. This new and abundant life, as John Paul II said, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. I remember when he said that, you know, I said this before, but I was 30 feet away from John Paul II, Pope St. John Paul II, when he said this. And I said, is he reading the Book of Heaven? I mean, that's the new and divine way of holiness. There's no other way to explain this celestial divine happiness, celestial laws, the good that God wants to do, the insuperable love, the divine heartbeat, the palpitating light, the divine sanctity, the divine love, the divine gifts, the divine peace, the divine happiness that God wants his children to enter into now on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I want no difference between heaven and earth. So the time of the evil one is coming to an end, and it's going to be bumpy because the evil one does not want to give up his throne on earth. But the kingdom of God is coming to earth as it is in heaven. And when that happens, the kingdom of the evil one is gone. He's been banished from heaven. He will be banished from earth. What does that mean? What does scripture say? When that time happens, and it's close, when that time happens, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death, no more evil. See, that's the 3 days of darkness. The 3 days of darkness, in my understanding, is God says to the evil one, take what's yours and get out of here. Take what's yours and leave. The kingdom is coming. This is to bring heaven on earth. The only prayer that Jesus taught, Heavenly Father, may your name be holy. Holy is your name. May your kingdom come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. So there be no difference between those in heaven and those on earth. The only difference was those in heaven at this point don't have a body, except for two, the body of Jesus, the glorified body of Jesus, the glorified body of Mary. Now, why the glorified body? Because that's living in the divine will. To live in the divine will, you have to have a glorified body. Jesus says that to Louisa. Everything that I have, I give to you, Louisa. What doesn't Louisa possess at this time? A glorified body. To live fully in the divine will, you have to have the life of Jesus, have the life of Mary, which is a glorified body. This body is living dead. This body cannot contain the glorified body of Jesus and Mary. That's why their bodies are glorified. Like Adam's body in the beginning, image and likeness of God. Now, who is the image and likeness of God now? Two, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This new and divine way of holiness is so close that our God is saying, what do you want? Tell me what you want, because you're going to receive how you live, what you're looking for. And the great thing is when we say to God, I want to live in the divine will, he says, good. Okay. What I want you to do now is stop worry, stop fear, stop anxiety, stop complaints, stop negativity, stop doubting, and begin to live this peaceful, joyful life. And Jesus says, this is the reason for its life in you, Louisa, for its knowledges to make known what the divine will means. These truths, these knowledges, these lessons that Jesus has given to Louisa that we go over every day, especially if you're reading the calendar. Every day, God is giving us a deeper understanding of this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, that's going to last eternally. This is the reason for its life in you. And he's saying this now to us. And I, God, enjoy and remain hidden in my very divine will to give it to all the field and the carrying it out of its life in you, Louisa. You, Louisa, have the destiny of the world on your shoulders. As you live this, others will be able to live this. I like it when people say, oh, we don't need Louisa. We just want to live in the divine will. You don't live in the divine will without Louisa. I'm sorry. This is why he says, I give it all the field and carry out its life in you, Louisa Picaretta. This diary of Louisa is hers. And he's offering it to us if we can die to our ego and our will. That's all God is asking of us. Are you willing to die to your ego? Die to your will. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and midnight mass will be offered for all of the little children, the holy divine will. so that everyone, all your loved ones, will be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.